I dropped to the ground and swept my hand across the smooth yellow tile. "Oh, Father," I cried, "there was no shame in your confusion, just as there had been no shame in your father's before you, no shame in the fear or in the fear of his father before him. There was only shame in the silence fear had produced. It was the silence that betrayed us. If it weren't for that silence, your grandfather might have told your father that he could never escape himself or recreate himself alone. Your father might have taught those same lessons to you. And you, the son, might have taught your father that this new world that was beckoning all of you involved more than just railroads and indoor toilets and irrigation ditches and gramophones, lifeless instruments that could be absorbed into the old ways. You might have told him that these instruments carried with them a dangerous power, that they demanded a different way of seeing the world, that this power could be absorbed only alongside a faith born out of hardship, a faith that wasn't new, that wasn't black or white or Christian or Muslim, but that pulsed in the heart of the first African village and the first Kansas homestead, a faith in other people. The silence killed your faith, and for lack of faith you clung to both too much and too little of your past. Too much of its rigidness, its suspicions, its male cruelties. Too little of the laughter in Granny's voice, the pleasures of company while herding the goats, the murmur of the market, the stories around the fire, the loyalty that could make up for a lack of airplanes or rifles, words of encouragement, an embrace, a strong, true love. For all your gifts, the quick mind, the powers of concentration, the charm, you can never forge yourself into a whole man by leaving those things behind. For a long time, I sat between the two graves and wept. When my tears were finally spent, I felt a calmness wash over me. I felt the circle finally close. I realized that who I was, what I cared about, was no longer just a matter of intellect or obligation, no longer a construct of words. I saw that my life in America, the black life, the white life, the sense of abandonment I'd felt as a boy, the frustration and hope I had witnessed in Chicago, all of it was connected with this small plot of earth an ocean away, connected by more than the accident of a name or the color of my skin. The pain I felt was my father's pain. My questions were my brother's questions. Their struggle, my birthright. A light rain began to fall, the drops tapping on the leaves above. I was about to light a cigarette when I felt a hand on my arm. I turned to find Bernard squatting beside me, trying to fit the two of us under a bent-up old umbrella. "They wanted me to see if you were okay," he said. I smiled. "Yeah, I'm okay." He nodded, his eyes squinting at the clouds. He turned back to me and said, "Why don't you let me have a cigarette, and I will sit and smoke with you?" I looked at his smooth, dark face and put the cigarette back in the box. "I need to quit," I said. "Come on, let's take a walk instead." We stood up and started towards the entrance to the compound. The young boy, Godfrey, was standing beside the cooking hut, one leg propped like a crane's against the mud wall. He looked at us and offered a tentative smile. "Come on," Bernard said, waving to the boy. "You can walk with us." And so the three of us made our way over the widening dirt road, picking at leaves that grew along the way, watching the rain blow down across the several valleys.